got to give him the praise. Amen. You got to give him the praise. You got to open your mouth and speak for him. He gave you that mouth. He gave you the tongue. Gave you a sound mind. Gave you the knowledge to know where you come from. Let you know who is the one that's keeping you. You got to testify. Amen. I'm glad that song was played because it kind of falls in line to give you a chance to evaluate yourself. Amen. And I hope my messages the last 2 weeks having you to look at you. Amen. God's not going to ask you about me when you meet him. He's going to ask you about you. You're going to have to give account for yourself. You can't go and say, well, Pastor Jefferson did. No, God don't want to hear that. He's going to ask you about you. Everybody going to have to give account for what you do down here, whether it be good or bad. Amen. God going to ask you about this Sunday. You going to say they sung that song. Somebody ought to testify, and you didn't open your mouth. Why didn't you open your mouth? I don't know what kind of answer you're going to give God. You might say, well, they weren't singing it right. You might say they you don't even know the words. I don't know what kind of excuse. But one thing I do know, we all gonna have to stand before him. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you don't, look at the PowerPoint. Stand for the reading of my text. It's found in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Thank you, Devin. I had you to read the background to the text and the reading of the scripture. But I want to focus mainly on verse 6 and 7 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. All right. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timid, but the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Now, some of you already know it reads different from King James. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. My subject today is to renewing your passion for Jesus. Renewing your passion for Jesus. The first thing I wanted to do was to give you a clear definition of what passion is. Passion is when you put more energy into something that is required to do it. When you put more energy into something that is required to do it. It is more than just enthusiasm or excitement. Passion is an ambition that is materialized into action to put as much heart, mind, body, and soul into something as is possible. Now that rings a bell. Because Jesus said in Matthew's, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with your all of your soul and with all of your mind. In other words, God is saying to us, he wants us to love him with a passion. To love him with a passion. Remember what passion is. Putting more energy into something than what is required.
All right.
God wants all of you. Not some of you. All of you.
Yes, sir.
One of the biggest sins that God hates is not adultery, or murder, or sexual perversion. One of the biggest sins that God hates is your apathy. Your half-heartedness. You're not putting everything into it for him. Because he told that church in Revelation, you are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. And you make me sick. And I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. God wants us to love him.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
With a passion.
All right. All right.
Passion is the creative forces behind all the great art, all the great drama, all the great architects, all the great writings. Nothing great can be accomplished without passion. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you the reason to get up in the morning
and go.
You get up going and saying that I'm going to do something with my life today. Passion. Without passion, life becomes boring, uninteresting, routine, and dull. God created us with emotions.
Talk to us.
To have passion in our lives. And passion is what mobilized armies to go into action. It's what caused explorers to venture into lands that no man have ever gone. Passion, what causes scientists to stay up late nights looking for cure of deadly disease. Passion is what caused athletes to turn him and her into great athletes when they are breaking records. You got to have passion.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
The amazing thing in America is that I can have passion about everything or anything except passion.
Yes, sir.
For God.
Talk to us.
I can have passion about a movie.
All right.
About movies?
Yes, sir.
I can have passion about sports. I can have passion about politics. I can have passion about restaurants. Some of y'all got that one. I can have passion about clothes and fashion. But I can't have passion about God.
All right. Preach up.
Something about that.
Talk something.
How?
And I was on the internet and I went to Amazon.com and I typed in this phrase. It said, I typed in the phrase, a passion for. Hundreds of books came up.
All right.
I wrote some of them down. I didn't write all of them down, so many. There's a book about a passion for birds. There's a book about passion for books. Passion for cactus. Passion for chocolate. I understand that one. Passion for fashion.
All right.
Passion for fishing. For flying. For gardening. For golf. For honey. There was even a book called A Passion for Mushroom. I thought about that one. They must be smoking something. I don't see where you have passion for mushroom. They had passion for needlepoint, passion for pasta, passion for phonies, and there was a book called A Passion for Potatoes.
All right.
For roses. For shoes.
Amen.
There was even a book called A Passion for Steam. I can't understand that one either. But in our culture,
all right,
it's okay to have a passion for anything for the exception of our faith. I can go to a concert.
All right.
I can go to a sporting event. I can go to a political rally. I can sit there and yell and holler till my voice get hoarse. Nobody thinking nothing of it.
Yeah. All right.
I can cry when my team lose. I can get up and dance around and wave my hand and do all kinds of things when my team wins.
Yeah.
And the only thing they say, you must be a good fan. But if I do that in God's house, they're going to call me a fanatic or a nutcase.
That's all right, though.
But long as I'm doing it for the world, everything's fine.
Yes, sir.
But when I do it for God,
yes, sir.
I got to be crazy.
That's all right.
I'm so glad that Paul told me how he felt about himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I'm a fool for Christ. Because if you have a passion for Christ, you're going to look like a fool to others. And they will call you a nutcase. I remember Paul out on Mars Hill when he was talking to all of those philosophers.
Yes, sir.
And he told them about the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
They said, this man is a madman. He done lost his mind.
Well,
talking about a man able to die and get back up. When he was standing before Agrippa.
Yes.
Preaching before Agrippa. And told him that Jesus died. And he rose again.
Yes, almost. Preacher.
And the other one, Ripper, turned out, he's a lunatic. But Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. And many of us hold back our real love for Christ because of what the world might think of us. Just like I said about that song, some of you won't testify. Thinking that somebody in here.
Yeah.
And the sad thing, Reverend Mike, that when I get crazy in here praising God, seem like my fellow saints ought to understand, because they ought to have the same love I have, but some of them will call me a nutcase or a fanatic. And they probably end up wanting to do you like they did shouting John.
Yeah, yeah.
The time you don't come back in our church no more. It's because we don't have that passion. Many of us done lost that passion for God like we used to have.
Uh-huh.
I believe at one time many of us had it.
Yes, sir.
But it's gone.
All right.
It's not like it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
yeah.
As a pastor, one of the greatest blessings that I get from pastoring is being around new converts.
Right.
Seem like they got a freshness and that enthusiasm and
yes,
that excitement.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I remember several years ago when I was at a family reunion.
Uh-huh.
Large family, a lot of people there. And it was one of my first cousins that grew up with me. And he just got saved. And boy, he was excited. He was telling me about scripture. About, you know, I don't study them, but I listened to him. He was just excited, like he was instructing me. But it just made me feel good to see that he was so excited about what he was talking about. And he left me. He go over there and talk to them and talk to somebody else. And came back. One of my uncles came to me and said, "Look at Charles. He thinks he knows us." I said, "We done studied that for years." I said, "Yeah, but it's sure exciting to hear him talk."
Yes.
So good.
I don't know what happens to us after we stay on the road for a while, but it seems like we lose the passion for Christ.
Amen.
We lose that freshness.
Come on, preach up.
We lose that enthusiasm and that excitement.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That we had.
Right.
I understand Andre Crouch when he said, "Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first received you." Because, boy, when I think back when I first received, I couldn't get enough. Sing, and you could have sung anything to me, I would have. Preach anything, I would love to hear it. Just excited to hear about Jesus.
Heaven, somebody. Yes, sir.
And the thing about it is, God sees the loss of your passion.
Yes, sir.
Jesus sees
that
you're not excited about him anymore.
Uh-huh.
That's what he told that church in Revelation. Listen what he said to that church in Revelation. He said that, "But this is one thing I have against you. You do not love me now as you did at first." We lost it. Jesus said. Jesus said that we lost it. Not excited. Ministers got to come into their congregation and act like cheerleaders. Pump you up.
Come on, preacher. Somebody going to get it in a minute.
Get excited. When God told you in Psalms that you ought to enter my courts with thanksgiving and into my temple, we pray you ought to come in here shouting that you made another week. Thankful that you made another week. Sitting there yesterday afternoon looking at the news at the corner of the airline and Cross Timbers, they had a folk car accident. They didn't even know which way cars was coming from. One little baby got killed and everybody else in the car made it all up. It could have been you.
Yeah.
It could have been me.
Yeah.
We ought to come in here thankful that God, you kept me. You kept me.
Yeah.
By your divine power, I'm here. Hallelujah. Come in here with excitement. Ready to praise God. We ought to have this church set on fire.
There you go.
Folks all outside ought to say, "What are they doing in there?" They can hear you out there if you make up enough noise.
Yes, sir, God. Yes.
Timothy wrote, I'm going to say Paul wrote Timothy in this letter. Give you a little backdrop of the letter. This is the last letter Paul wrote. And a lot of theologians said it could have been no more than about 3 or 4 weeks later. Nero chopped his head off.
Okay.
He was well in age. Timothy, a young man. He writing back, he was his mentor. Paul was his father in the ministry. He's writing back to encourage this young man.
That's right.
Because you're going to have to stand firm.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
You're going to have to stand firm.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
When you share the gospel, you got to stand firm.
Oh, yes, sir.
If you're going to stand for Christ, you're going to have to stand firm.
Yes, sir.
You can't go along to get along. You got to stand firm.
Yes, sir.
You can't hold your peace because of peace's sake. You got to stand up for what's right. We're living in the apocalyptic time right now. In other words, we're living in the end time. Satan is raging war at a level now that we need everybody on the front line. Ain't no sitting around on the pew. There ain't no time for rest. We get some rest later on. But right now, we all need to be on the front line and get our own weapons of warfare. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy.
Uh-huh.
Being a young man.
Talk to us.
And sometimes old men don't want to listen to young men.
Yeah.
All right.
And Paul was saying that you're going to have to stand boldly.
Yeah.
And speak boldly.
All right.
And so Paul told him, uh-huh, look, for this reason I want to remind you,
uh-huh,
to fan in the flame. The gift which is in you.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Fan in the flames the gift of God which is in you.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's there because I saw it when I laid hands on prayer. And when I laid hands on you, I know it's there.
Yes, sir. All
right.
There's a fire on the inside of us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
It ought to burn like it ought to have our hearts burning with passion to do God's will. Paul didn't tell Timothy, you got to start the fire. The fire is there. But it's not, you know, when fire doesn't die out, you got red ashes. But if you stir it up and start flaming it, fanning it, it'll start burning again. And all of us, God, that child, children of God, God has placed within us a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm like Jeremiah. He said it's like fire shut up on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all did get that. Let me...
Come on,
y'all got to hear what I'm saying here, because I want you to reignite this, renew this passion for Christ.
Uh-huh.
It's in you already.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
All right.
You know what, Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah to go speak to my people.
Uh-huh.
And every time Jeremiah went out to preach, something bad happened to him.
Yes, sir.
He didn't have one friend.
Oh, talk to us.
But every time he go out to preach, they even kicked him out the temple. So he just go stand in front of the temple door.
Uh-huh. Tell us.
When he got there, they got tired of him, got him, and put him in a dungeon.
Yeah, right.
Where they throw their garbage at.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he stayed down there so long, and when he got out,
yes, sir,
Jeremiah said, God,
yeah,
I'm not going to speak for you no more.
That's it,
I'm not going to even mention your name, because every time I do, something bad happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah meant what he said, and he wouldn't preach anymore.
That's right.
But it got to the point.
Tell us, that was the Bible said.
To the point that he couldn't hold it. He was trying to hold it back, but he said, start burning on the inside of it like fire. Cut up in my bones. I got to preach it. That's how the Holy Spirit got to be with you. You got to stand up and stand. God gave it to you at the moment of your salvation.
Yeah. Amen. All right,
God. Amen. Somebody go get it. Amen.
He gave you the divine equipment of the Holy Spirit. He gave us everything we need to fight against this evil world. In other words, another way to say it is, use your gift now. Use what God gave you now. Serve the God. Serve the Lord now. Get involved now. God put the fire on the inside of you. Let it burn. If you can teach, teach. If you can help, help. If you can write, write. If you can sing, sing. If you can build, build. If you can invest, invest. If you can lead, lead. Do whatever God has put upon you.
Yes, sir.
Burn it on the inside. You'll never feel the fulfillment of life until you start doing what God has gifted you to do.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You don't have to have the spotlight on you. I can't do it. I'm not a preacher. I can't do it. You're not a deacon. I can't do it. I don't hold no office in the church. Listen here. If it's not in you, I don't care what office they put you in.
Talk, preacher. Talk.
I've seen people outserve pastors. I see people outserve deacons.
Yes, sir.
I see people outserve ministry leaders.
Yes, sir.
It's not about position.
That's right.
It's not about where you think you need to be. But do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
And Paul said in verse 7, he is saying that what you have everything you need to do right now to do God's will.
Amen.
You have everything you need right now to do God's will. It's already on the inside of you. God put it there.
Yes, sir.
Stop saying, God, give me more faith.
Yeah,
Jesus said if you use the faith that you already have, you can move mountains with it.
Yes, sir.
Don't say you don't have enough faith.
All right.
Ask God, how can I unleash this power? How can I unleash this that you have given me in service to you?
Yeah.
That was two things about fear. Because Paul told Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. One, fear of failure comes from the devil. And sometimes we fear that more than anything, failure.
Help us,
God.
Failure. Yeah.
Failure.
Yeah.
Only thing that defeats success is a failure. But you can't fail if you don't try.
Somebody gonna get it. Amen.
And Satan got us fearing failure so bad that we won't even try.
Won't try.
God don't give us a spirit of fear. And if you have a fear of any kind, fear that you're not qualified enough, fear that you don't have what it takes to do what God called you to do, fear. Now, if you have any kind of fear, God didn't put it there. There is some holy reverence fear.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Of God. Yes, sir.
You got to overcome this fear. And what overcomes fear is courage.
All right. Courage. Yeah.
If you don't have no fear, there's no need for courage.
Uh-huh.
I think I showed you that a couple of weeks ago. Courage is going through in spite of fear.
Yeah. Yes.
And we got to grow to that point because we have this power within us that we don't have to fear anything.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Martin Luther King's last speech?
He
said, I don't fear nothing. I don't have no fear of any man.
Yeah.
Why? Because his eyes have seen. When you see what God is able to do, you don't have that fear anymore. You don't have that fear of death anymore. You don't have that fear of what man can do to you anymore. Because you know man can only kill this body. But that's as far as he can go.
Right.
Told him Wednesday night, so what? You can shoot me with an AK, what is it, AK-5, RX, what is that?
AK?
AK-47. All right, they got all these machine guns shooting 50 times. You can shoot me with the one of them things. You kill me with the first bullet, though, don't make no difference. If you shoot me 50 more times, ain't gonna be no deader than what I am. Because that's far as you can go.
That's it.
You done killed the body.
That's all you did. Come on, quick.
So ain't no sense me having no fear about dying. Paul said, why you fear dying? Because you know that when you die, you're gonna be with the Lord. They just hurrying it up. That's why you want to hurry up and go, don't you?
Just speeding it up.
Oh, Lord. I know I got some silence there. You ain't ready to go yet, huh? Yeah, you ain't gonna get the first train going either. Put me on the caboose.
Say, Ralph. Say, back it up.
The next thing I want you to do is never believe the devil, even when he speaks the truth.
Right now.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because he used the truth for the wrong reason.
Yes.
Eve, if you eat this fruit, you're not going to die. I know God said you're going to die.
That's it.
He spoke the truth. But it was half truth.
The half truth.
All right.
Amen.
Satan can come at you so many ways, but when you know Satan is involved in it, I don't care if it is the truth. Don't follow him.
Amen.
That's the reason I talked about discernment Sundays ago.
Yeah.
That you ought to be able to discern the spirit.
Right.
And how do you discern the spirit? Try the spirit by the spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one that dwells in us, wrote the word.
Come on,
son. Oh, boy, I was almost to go somewhere and teach a lesson, but I'm not going to go there to talk about the graphite. And the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible.
Okay. I have mercy.
Y'all hear what I just said? The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Since he wrote it, he knows everything in there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So if you got a spirit inside of you,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Telling you something that don't line up with what he wrote,
all right.
Believe it, it ain't the spirit of God.
Yeah.
That's the reason John said, try the spirit.
By
the spirit.
Yeah.
See if it be of God. Put that spirit to the test. Even though it sounds right. Even though it sounds good. You better try the spirit by the spirit. Let it be judged by the word of God.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Amen, son.
That's right. That's what it says. That's the word. All right.
Then Paul said, you done lost your passion. You need to stir it up.
Yes.
God is watching you.
Yes.
You done left your first love.
Yeah.
Couldn't get enough of him at first.
All right.
Just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Went to revivals. Went to workshops. Went to seminars. Trying to learn as much as you could. Now you think you know so much you can't even come to Bible study. You know so much that we want to argue about the theology. I'd like for you to just keep it simple, saints. I sit around and look at some people, they get so much caught up in theology and what's this and that. And then you look around and you see some people just so happy to be saved.
Yeah. Yes,
hold on, preacher.
I hope I'm getting my point across.
Amen.
This passion.
Amen.
The passion. Then Paul told Timothy in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
To finish that, of me being a prisoner.
Yes, sir.
Paul was in prison in Rome waiting for his execution when he wrote this letter.
Yes, sir.
It don't look right to have a mentor
uh-huh.
in prison. A mentor talking all of this about love and peace and joy. And here you are sitting in jail.
All right.
The first thing we'll say that he must have done something wrong for they to put him there in jail.
Amen.
And Paul looked around and he saw that everybody started abandoning him.
All right.
He even talked about two men that he thought about was his, he thought and made mention of that used to be my good friends. But since I've been locked up, I ain't heard from them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and of me being in jail. Because he said, number one, he got identified himself as being a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
All right.
Now, when Paul said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he said that, look, Caesar's not the one holding me in this jail.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus got me here for a reason.
All right.
Yeah. And in that prison, he wrote some beautiful letters. In that prison, he ministered to some people, and they got converted. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, because if Jesus don't want me here, he can easily unlock them doors and let me go. But he got me here for a reason. So no matter where you are, God allowed you to be there. So you need to minister where you are, and you need to give your testimony. Amen. In your condition. Sometimes we're going to be up. Yeah, I can praise God for being up. Yeah, I can praise him for the new car. Yeah, I can praise him for the house. Yeah, I can praise him for the rain. Yeah, I can praise him for the big tax return. Yeah, I can praise him all that. But yeah, you got to praise him when you're down. Yeah, Lord, I'm sick right now, but you still God. I need you right now. You still God. You never abandoned me. You still there with me. So don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Yes, sir.
You gotta have a passion for God no matter where you are. That's the reason Paul said that I've been abound and I've been abased. In other words, I've been up here. I was a Pharisee. I had money. I was in the elite group. I gave the part. I'm the one that they came to the house, my house. But I've been a base.
Yeah.
I went all the way down where I didn't have a dime to my name.
Yeah.
I couldn't even buy toothpaste when I wanted. I couldn't even buy soap to clean myself. I didn't even have the clothes that I need. But I was a found and I've been a base. But I found out and I've learned that no matter where I am, I'm content because I know my Savior got his eyes on me. For Jesus.
Thank you.
That's a compliment if somebody called you a nutcase. Be a nutcase for Jesus. I'm a fool for Jesus. I don't want to be your fool, but I'll be a fool for Jesus.
Thank you.
When you go through the Bible, you'll see men's of passion. Sometimes we get to a point where we get complacent. Knowing that God has gave you something to do. You can feel it on the inside because your life is not complete. You can have the money, but it's not complete. You can have the car, you can have the job, but you're not complete. You can have the clothes, the shoes, and you can have all of that, but still there's something on the inside. Just won't let you sit right because you ain't got that excitement about each day. You ain't got that enthusiasm.
Yes, sir.
I saw a man like that in the Bible. His name was Elijah. Elijah took over the family farm. Doing what his daddy used to do. And he was out there plowing 12 yokes of ox.
Yes, sir.
Good God Almighty. I can say that because I'm a farm boy. See, when I grew up, when you broke ground for the first time, they used to hook two mules together. And they had a big old plow they call a miller buster. It took two mules to pull it. And it comes out and has wing tips out like that. And it took a man to handle that. I used to get harder cotton. I used to get powder cotton. But I couldn't handle that vision. It took a man to walk behind 2 mules, to control those 2 mules, and handle that plow at the same time. Then when I look at Elijah, Elijah had 12 yokes of oxen. How in the world, man? What kind of man is this? Can have 12 ox way up there, back here with a plow, walking behind and controlling the 12 ox. That was a man. And he wasn't a broke man because he had 12 ox. But his life wasn't complete. Walking behind them 12 ox. And one day he walked up on Elijah. Elijah. Then Elijah. And he saw what Elijah had. And that's what he'd been looking for when he saw what Elijah had. I've been living good walking behind these ox, but you got something that I've been missing. And that's what I want. Elijah got them 12 oxen, went to the village, and he had all of them slaughtered, and he had a party. Gave everybody something. Then he got up and walked behind Elijah. Why? Because you got what I wanted. What I've been missing all this time, I see it in you. I want that. I want that passion for the Lord. I want that passion. Elijah walking behind Elijah. Elijah turned around and said, "Won't you go back home and stop following me?" Elijah said, I'm not turning around because you got what I want. What I've been looking for, I see it in you. Elijah said, "Okay, I tell you what. If you go around, when God takes me away from here, you can have a double portion. You not only can have what I got, but you can have a double portion of it." And the Bible said that Elijah was sitting by the brook and the whirlwind came. And it took Elijah up in the whirlwind. And you know what fell down? The staff of Elijah. And Elijah picked it up. It started walking with power and authority. And double portion with it. I remember he was walking one day and kept walking by this woman's house. And she saw him walking by each day. And she told her husband, "I perceive that's a man of God. Let us build a room on the house. Let's build a table for him and put a lamp there." And Elijah started standing with that couple. And one day he was leaving the house. He said, "Lord, I want to bless these people because they've been so good to me." He said, he looked around. He saw they didn't have any children. And he blessed them to have a son. And one day when the boy got a little older, about 12 years old, the Bible said, he was working in the field with his dad. And the Bible said the little boy got sick and his daddy picked him up and took him to his mama and put him in his lap. And the boy was laying there and died in his mother's arms. She was so heartbroken. She went and laid her son in the bed and told her, "Son, get my mule ready. Get my mule ready, because I got to go find the man of God." The Bible says she got on that mule, she started running, and she saw Elijah way over there. And Elijah saw her coming. She said, "Is everything well?" She said, "All is well." Oh boy, you see the faith of that woman believing in that man of God that lost a son, and he told him everything is well. She got Elijah, told him what was wrong.
What happened?
Brought Elijah
to the house.
To the house.
Yes, sir.
Elijah said, God,
yeah,
I brought this upon me. Put life back in this boy. Elijah went in the room and shut the door.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible said he laid on top of the young man.
That's what it said. Yeah. That's
what it said. And the young man came back to life.
Amen.
Passion driven by Elijah. Oh, let me tell you about one more. Then I'm going to close, okay? There was another man that had passion. You know what his name was? David. David had passion. He had a passion for music. When you got a passion, remember what passion does? It carries you beyond what's required to do something. David not only could play the music, he not only can play the music instruments,
all right,
but he can make them.
Yeah.
He not only can sing the song,
uh-huh,
he can write them.
Yeah.
Passion for praise, passion for worship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He has so much passion for praise and worship, uh-huh, that God said, I'm going to re-establish the tabernacle of David. Yeah. Because this man had a passion for me.
Yeah.
Passion drove him further. Had a passion for God.
Yeah, right. Passion.
Stood up against Goliath.
Yeah, that's right.
When he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Had a passion.
Uh-huh.
Passion make the impossible possible.
Yes.
Passion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not half-hearted. Not just coming in here, sitting and looking and observing expectations, but being a part of worship. Passion.
Yeah.
That it burns on me.
Yes.
That you can't sit still.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sometimes I sit down and I look at even going on right now that when you have a passion for God, you sit there but you rock from side to side. Because the I don't know, there's something about the word that have you rocking like that. You lean up and back. You have a smile. You got a passion. You want to hear it.
Yeah.
You want it to penetrate.
All right, sir. Come, sir. Come, sir. You're on it. Yeah. You're on it.
The great exhibition of passion was shown by our Savior Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's when he said the passion
of
the cross.
Cross.
The passion of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And he showed it on the cross.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank God to Jesus.
He should have changed his mind a long time ago.
Yes.
By going to the cross.
All right.
Because he knew what it was going to be like. But he has so much passion for you.
Yes, sir.
And you. And you. And you.
Uh-huh.
You know what Jesus told his disciples when they told him that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees,
come on, preacher,
you can't get into the kingdom of God. And Lord knows them people look like they were some righteous people. They played the part to the teeth, dotted that I crossed the T.
Yes, sir.
And then Jesus tell his disciples, you got to be better than them.
You got to be better than them. Woo! What? Come on.
Right.
Woo.
And Peter said, how can we?
Uh-huh.
Then he said, what's impossible
with
man
is
possible
with
God. Because he had a passion to make it happen. He made it happen. That you can get in the kingdom of God, and your way you get in there, that your righteousness.
Yes.
All right.
But he had to go to the cross.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Right here.
That man, they took Jesus to show you how much he loved you.
Uh-huh.
They took him.
Yep.
Early.
Yeah.
Friday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hadn't been asleep all night.
Uh-huh.
They took him to 6 courtrooms.
Yes, sir.
The Romans had 3 courtrooms, yes, they took him to.
Find some morning.
And the religious leaders had 3.
Yeah. Right.
Trying to find something on him.
Yes, sir.
And then they turned him over to some Roman soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they just mocked him. Taunted him.
Yeah.
Picked his beard up.
Uh-huh.
One by one.
Yeah.
Put crowns of thorns on his head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Till he crushed down into his skull.
Yes, sir.
Marking him, saying that you the child, if you the Son of God, you can make us quit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the truth of it is, he could have.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
He could have just said the word.
That's it.
Not only that, they took him and they got a whip.
Yeah.
And on the end of that whip, it had 9 leather straps coming out the end. And at the end of each one of those straps, they had bones and leg. And they beat his back. The law said you can't beat a man more than 30 times in the Jewish law because they'll kill him. So they always did 39 times just in case they miscounted. They did 39 lashes with their whip to his back with a bloody paw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And then they took him
uh-huh.
after they spit in his face.
Yeah.
Up Golgotha's hill. Yeah. Gave him a big old rugged cross to carry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And when he got almost halfway up there, he couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
Fell down to his knees. They've been up all night. Now he had been whipped. Then they reached out and got an African that was standing in the crowd by the name of Simon. Told him to carry it on up the hill for
him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when they got up there, they took the cross and they nailed his hand. It wasn't no 16 penny nails. These were spikes that they nailed it.
Yes, sir. Right.
Tell it.
Yes, sir. Tell
and when they nailed his hand, they picked that cross up and dropped it down in the hole. And when he went down in the hole, that hand had nothing but all his weight. It just ripped.
Yes,
yes. Yes, sir.
Tearing his cavities, chest cavities apart.
All right, Doc. Yeah.
And the Romans knew how to crucify.
Yeah.
That was their And what they would do, they would get that man on the cross and they would bend his knees slightly and take a nail and drive in his feet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they knew how to get you.
Yeah.
And what they was doing is that when you were hanging here, it was all of your weight was pulling out.
All right, Doc.
You can breathe in, but you couldn't breathe out.
Yeah,
yeah, Lord. Thank
and you would die of suffocation.
All right.
Yeah. You know that.
And it would take days for people to die. Because they would hang there. And when their body and their lungs get so painful, like needles going through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they would do, they would take the legs that they would, to get a little relief, they would press themselves up to get the pressure off their lungs.
Yeah.
And they would stand on their feet that's nailed there. Then after a while, it started hurting so bad.
Yeah.
And then they would have to let go to give their legs some rest.
Yeah.
The feet and the pain some relief. And they'll let back down and then go to lungs again. So all during the day, it was up and down and up and down and up and down. And the way they used to end it, if they didn't die in time, they would break a leg.
Yeah.
All right, Doc.
When they break the leg,
yes, sir.
That means he can no longer push himself up to get relief. So they end up suffocating.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead.
Yes, sir.
From all the excruciating pain and the horror that he had been through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the Bible said when they got there, they saw that he was already dead. They got a spear to make sure he was dead.
Yeah.
And they gushed him in the side.
Yeah,
right. They said that water and blood came out mingled together.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
I know we got types and other than that, but when you listen to a medical doctor say, the only way blood and water can come out at the same time, that heart got to be ripped apart.
All right.
In other words, Jesus died with a broken heart.
Yes, sir.
Because he has so much passion for you.
Yes.
So much love for you. That he went all the way to the end. Remember, the only way that you can get to heaven is by God opening the gate and making a way for you. Because what's impossible with man, you can't get there on your own. You can't live good enough on your own. You can't pay enough tithes on your own. You can't go to the church enough. You can't study your Bible enough. You can't live holy enough. The only way you're going to get there is by the grace
of God.
Y'all got some passion? Y'all got some passion? Look over your life. Let go of some of that stuff. Don't need to be there. They ain't going to be taking up time. Jesus went through all of that for you. Now you can't even give up a TV series. Can't give up a TV show. Even though you got DVRs, you got recorders, you got everything. You got on demand, but yet you can't leave it.
All right.
To do God's work.
All right.
Where's your passion?
Yeah.
Where's your love?
All right.
I think I better leave you alone. I believe the Spirit will convict some of you enough. He has convicted some of you enough that when you go home, you'll look at yourself.
Yeah.
Someone that has done so much for you.
Yes, sir.
Someone that done so much for you.
Yeah.
That's what Paul, you come on, sis. Come on, sis, because if you don't, I keep on preaching. That's what Paul told Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, because he's the one that saved you. He's the one that taking care of you. He's the one that made ways for you. He's the one that's keeping you in the bosom of your love. How are you going to be ashamed of the Lord, your God, the one that made you and created you? How can you be ashamed of Jesus? Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation." Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on. Give him a hand of praise. Say, I got passion. I'm going to renew my passion. I'm going to renew my faith. I'm going to give him everything, because he wants it all. Not a little bit. Not no leftover. He wants it all. He wants the prime time. Give him the best that you got.
All right, God. Yes, sir. All right.
Is there someone here today?
Thank you, Jesus.
Someone here today. You don't have to be a new convert, but you know you done lost something. You're not like you used to be. Knowing that God have done too much for you. For me to be lukewarm for him. If you're here, let us pray for you. That God will renew that passion. Renew that passion back in you. Because when you remember when you had all that passion for it, how much joy you had in your life, how much you was ready to face each day, how it just made you a brand new person. Getting up with energy. If you're here, where you come from? If you're here, where you come from? If you're here, will you come? We want to pray with you and pray for you. If you're here, we want to pray with you and pray for you.
Thank you.